Christ Review,
Church Reform,
City Review. We're talking about 2015 being a special year where church is going to be reformed.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
We're going to be building it according to the pillars of Zion.
Yes.
Say, building church,
birthing
Zion.
Building Zion.
It's really important for us to now I'm going to show you what it means to build the church and birth Zion. We cannot have church natural. Church is unusual. We're not ordinary, we're extraordinary. We're just not normal. If you're just a normal shop, ordinary shop, what's going to happen is that you're going to lose out in the competition. If you do any business, you've got to be extraordinary. In order to stay with the cutting edge, you've got to be competent, rise above others, and begin to make a difference. Amen?
Amen.
The difference is not the same. The difference is not the same. You believe that?
Yes.
And the difference is, the Lord Jesus Himself spoke to the disciples and said, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. There's a time and specific place in which you will receive the equipping. God knows that you need to go. But He cannot send you before you are equipped, empowered. And there's an infusion. That's why the last two SOS has been God's plan for us. If you don't know what happened last GLS, make sure you get the CDs and the tapes. Get the notes, get the materials. Ask God to help you, because that's the foundation that we laid. So that this time that you not only have a foundation, you have a place. Your position. Things can be built upon you. Amen?
Amen.
The next phase is that you're going to go, you're going to be launched. By the time we come for SOS next year, we'll be ready to be launched.
Amen.
As it is in heaven.
Yeah.
We cannot create pathways on the earth unless you know what is happening in heaven. One of the most amazing things about Jesus is this. He saw what the Father was doing.
Yeah.
He heard what the Father was saying.
Yeah.
And that's why nothing could touch Him.
Yeah.
If God be for us, nothing can be against us.
Yeah.
But you synchronize and synergize with God Himself, nothing can stop you. You become impregnable. You believe that? That's the reason why you cannot become stopped, because God cannot be stopped. When He moves, He takes over. He doesn't just move. He intervenes, He takes over. He realigns. Joshua, the commander of the army, said, are you for us or against us? He said, neither. Because God doesn't come to take sides, He comes to take over. Zion is a special place. One of the first things in church reform is the word dimension. How you do it is a matter of how God graces you. Some people preach, some people teach, some people prophesy, but you must bring the word material into the house. Some do it through a song. Are you listening? But the word material is important. That's why I stop thinking shallow, trying to teach people lesson. You got to help them catch the dimensions of the word. How to live by the word, how to hear the word, how to receive grace when they hear. These are things you got to teach. The word that I speak to you is spirit and life. So that when somebody is speaking, receive the life of the word. rather than try to understand it with your head. It's taken me years to understand what I understand. You cannot understand it in one session. So don't deceive yourself. Before you can hold it tangibly in your own heart and mind, it will take time. The word will have to lay hold of your mind first. And then your mind struggles, runs around. And all the negative thoughts in your mind begin to fight back. Because you heard from this, from that preacher and there, the other preacher, and read this book and read the other book. And you search the internet and they say something else different. So your head is full of garbage. Unrenewed thought patterns. So you will be struggling. I'll be saying one thing, you'll be thinking another. And all that thought has to be brought under subjection. So that your mind is laid hold of God by God's word. So God arrests your mind, renew your mind. That is called process. It takes time. Doesn't happen overnight, it takes time. Even with Peter, James and John, Jesus spent 3.5 years with them. Lived with them, talked with them. And he spoke and he gave him Peter a vision in a trance. And he saw a sheet of cloth with all kinds of animals and God said, arise, kill and eat. Peter said, no, I can't do it, I'm a Jew. This is after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. After he led the revival in the book of Acts. After he has touched God in a supernatural way, this is about 10 chapters. Can you imagine 10 chapters in the book of Acts? And all of a sudden, thank you, Mom. Can I kiss your hand? She repairs me, we are so fast. I talked to Jesus last night and Jesus said he was so touched by the way Mom handles me and he felt so romantic. So Jesus is in love. Love is in the air. I wish I knew how to entertain people when I was started in ministry. I probably would have a larger crowd by now. In those days, I just preached the word. And I was strong. People could not take it. But I didn't do any wrong because I don't know anything better. I was totally sold out to God and I brought God's word and spoke it. But people cannot handle the truth. Especially if I open the door and you're standing behind. People stand in the way of truth many times. Then they get hit on the face. I didn't offend them, they offended themselves. Because if you position yourself wrongly with a sword, it will cut you. Even if it's your own sword. You know how the Chinese chef cuts the onion, put the finger in the wrong place, wrong. It's your own finger, your own knife. You thought I'm the only one who offend you. You're offended already. If you are out of alignment with the word in your own life, when I pull the sword, you'll be killed. For that matter, any circumstances. Because you're not aligned to truth. You're not walking in light, you'll stumble. That's why pastors always get into trouble. He offended me. Jesus said, I came to bring offense. Because he is the truth. Everyone you spoke to, you align them. adjusted them. Zacchaeus was short. He couldn't see Jesus. So he climbed up the tree to make amendments to his height so that he can see. But the moment he saw Jesus face to face, his life was aligned.
Yeah.
You cannot walk with fire and not be burned. You are being offended every day as you read the Bible. Every day, something is hitting you, but you are stubborn, you don't want to change. You resist change. But you know every day you've been adjusted. Every day you look into the light, you've been changed. I combed my hair yesterday, well, this morning, when I woke up it was not in line. I had to make sure all my hair, you say which hair? Only through eyes of faith you can see. The finer things of life require an eye of faith. My head is special. The little boy said to his mommy, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, look at his head." She said, "Why?" "I can count all the number of lights on the building." So the glory still shines. Look at your head anyway. Most of your head is covered up. But what I think is never covered up. Every thought that God gives to you must become a thought that can pass through without any hindrance. Are you listening?
Yes.
Nowadays my hair doesn't grow upwards, it grows downwards. It's the effect of gravity. If you don't believe me, put your hands up like this. You see, muscles are not up this way, it's down. You don't know, lift your hands. You can feel the muscles hanging down. That's called the weight of glory. Or the aging process. Are you clear in your head?
Yeah.
Talk to me, are you clear?
Yeah.
We need the word dimension.
Yeah.
You must not sit in church and don't want to be adjusted. You must not say, my life is okay. It is not okay. It was okay. It was well yesterday. But today you know more, you have to make adjustment.
Yeah.
Bible says Apollos was a good man. He was not a bad man. He was a good man. He knew the scriptures, but he only knew until the baptism of John.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Only the baptism of John. Then Aquila and Priscilla took him, trained him, took him to the next level.
Yes.
He was good until then, but not good enough.
Yes.
That's why you got to have the humility to change.
Yes.
We're never good enough for what's going to happen.
Right.
He makes us better. His grace abound. So if God is correcting you, it's for a good reason.
Yeah.
He's changing you, it's for a good reason.
Yeah.
Because He's going to take you to the next level.
Yeah.
Show you a new way of doing things.
Yeah.
Make you effective. Make you more, less vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy.
Yeah.
The second aspect is not just the word dimension. It's a Holy Spirit dimension. Say the Spirit dimension. Change atmospheres and to touch the spirit of man. And also the other aspect on myriads and myriads of angels, that simply means to connect with the spirit world. Say the atmosphere, the spirit of man, and the spirit dimension. This is the dimension of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? And the church must be filled with that. The songs we sing must create atmospheres. Are you listening? The song that we sing must create atmosphere, every word, Mom. I'm sorry, this conference, you have to just keep your eyes on me. All the time. the dimensions of the spirit, the more saturated it is, the faster the change will be. That's why the way we sing, don't sing carelessly. Use the word to create atmospheres. Instead of singing five songs and then build the same atmosphere, you must just sing one song and create atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's like the eagle. Have you seen the duck trying to fly? And sometimes it's more successful than the hen. The hen is a funny creature. It runs, jumps, flaps, gets up 2 feet from the ground, and then comes down again and starts the same process again. The hen cannot fly. But the duck takes off. And eagle does even better. Are you listening? One flap, 30 feet high. That's how a song leader should be. You've got to hit the spirit realm. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know what that means? It doesn't mean you're empty. You're ready. Waiting on the Lord is different from hearing God's voice. If God hasn't spoken to you, you've got to start hearing. Are you listening? Sweetheart. She loves to write what I say. That's why she told Cyrus to go and get the book. That's right, you went home to get the book so that she can write. Because she takes what I say seriously. But yeah, there's serious business, more serious business than writing. Some wives don't want to listen to their husband. But she's like Sarah. She knows that God has begun something in my life. If you as a wife don't honor what is coming forth in your husband, you kill it straight away. Pastor's wife sit there, fold their arms, they're doing their own thing, doing their Facebook coverage. And the pastor finds others who connect. And that's how you get all kinds of alliance of wrong connections. That's why if you're a pastor's wife, you've got to sit in the front and you must be 150% behind your man. If there's any quarrel, do it at home. Fight at home, pillow fight. Food fight, if you want to. Take the apple and throw, doesn't matter. But when you come out, you go to war together. Don't bring the quarrel to the church. The spirit dimension is powerful. Are you listening?
Yes.
Very few people know how to build in the spirit. That is to take presence. You walk into a room, you must change it. Some people use personality. He's the what they call the light of the party. What do they call? Life warrior of the party. That means he comes in, he's boisterous. Probably Australian. Sorry, I love you guys too. Maybe it's boisterous and it attracts attention. He's the life warrior of the party. Some people use personality. After a short while, nobody likes them. Other male don't like them. They don't like the alpha dog. Are you listening? Then you have clashes. But if you're a man with the spirit, you charge the atmosphere and you draw the people that have been touched by the atmosphere. That connection is more real. Hello? Hello? Someone suddenly disappeared. For half a second. Did you notice that? Did you? You don't know. I know. I know when virtue leaves, when sound leaves. The spirit dimension is powerful. When you speak a word, the word will saturate the atmosphere.
Yes.
The greatest manifestation of God is His Word. In the beginning was the Word. The beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke the Word. And He uses His name, His nature, His attributes to support His Word. So that's the greatest manifestation. And when God speaks to you, He's giving you something that can hold Him. Are you listening?
Yes.
You cannot hold men today because their word is worth 2 cents.
Yeah.
That's why you need lawyers. To put 2 liars together.
Yeah.
And charge both of them.
Yeah.
For not keeping up their word. Sorry, this is a lawyer's joke. Sometimes we have a thought pattern that lawyers are all bad. So I'm giving a good one for the lawyers. Because you, 2 liars, they don't trust each other. They go and see a lawyer. Draft out all the contracts so that if any one of them fails to subject themselves to the truth, they can be charged in a court of law. Are you listening? But God is held by His word. You can't see Him, you cannot walk with, see Him, you cannot touch Him, but you have His Word. And you hold on the Word until it begins to materialize. But say, I'm coming at 7 to take you out for dinner. At 6:30 you are already ready. Because at 7 you don't have the promise anymore, you have the person. You don't have the promise, you have the person. So the person arrives, you don't hold the promise anymore, now you hold the person. For every word that God has spoken, He will come personally to take you in. Fulfillment never happens until He comes personally. That's why 2014 is a special year, because it's a year of prophetic fulfillment. God spoke the word and He came personally to Joshua and said to Joshua, I'm here. I'm here to take you across. Joshua, the captain, thought he was going to do it himself. He looked at the walls of Jericho, and they're 30 feet high and 15 feet thick. How on earth am I going to get there? So he was pacing the floor up and down until the captain of the host arrived. Are you on our side or against us for us? What are your credentials? He said, I came for neither. Because he doesn't take sides, he takes over. He said, remove the shoes from your feet because you're not walking on the natural pathway anymore. You're walking in the dimensions of the Spirit. Are you listening?
Yes.
And taught him how to walk the dimension of the Spirit. He said, just do what I tell you to do. March around the walls once every day. Is that all? March around the walls. Are you listening? Simple instruction, but it was creating dynamics. It's creating dynamics in the spirit world. And then on the last day, they were supposed to shout. After they marched 7 times on the 7th day, and they all have to shout. When they shouted, it created a frequency. All of heaven began to respond. It's called the shout of God. Blind Bartimaeus said to Jesus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Everybody said, shut up, be quiet. You're a blind beggar, stay out of this. This procession is not about you. Then the Bible said, Jesus, stop. When he shouted all the more, he knew that his shout was not a single shout. You have to shout again and again and again until the shout of God arises in your heart. It's not just speaking. You got to speak and speak until the spirit dimension is hit. Once you hit the spirit dimension, then Jesus stopped. All of heaven will give you attention. Are you listening? That's why those of us who are preachers who preach seasoned enough, we know how to preach until we hit the spirit realm. Sometimes we hit a wall. But when you hit the wall, you cannot just do the normal. The shout of God must rise.
Yes.
After marching seven times around the city, that's 35 miles. The last thing you want to do is shout. The First thing you want to do is have a shower. Not shout. You're sweating, you don't want to shout. But when they shouted, the walls came down. And the next thing you want to do is climb up all the walls that is broken down on the rubbles and run and kill all the male and all the female and destroy the whole city. That's the last thing you want to do. Say, after all, when the walls come down, the people would have died. Is that right? But they found strength to complete the assignment. Are you listening? That's why you got to speak the word until the spirit dimension is here. The word and the spirit combined together will bring explosion. The word I speak is spirit and life. Are you listening? The word is a word of faith. The word is material. That's why they say to Jesus, just say the word. You don't have to come, just say the word, because your word can do what you can do. What you can do in person when you arrive in my house. What you can do physically, your word can do it. So when we receive the word, we have received a promise that one day you will physically, tangibly arrive. Are you listening? I know without a shadow of doubt, when I lay hold of the word, he has to come. He has to come because the word is a sure proof. Are you listening? The word is a sure proof that God himself will manifest. It's only a matter of time. We cannot live on promises. God knows. God knows we cannot live on promises. You cannot promise a girl that you're going to marry the girl for 5 years and 10 years and 15 years and she's still waiting. I tell girls that are waiting that long, hit the man and run. He's not worthy. That's why I don't believe in prolonged courtship. Because you make commitment, you got to do it. If you don't have the strength to do it, then you're not worth it. I say, don't wait for men. I haven't decided whether they're going to wear sneakers or shoes. Are you listening? And all the girls say, thank you. There goes your boy out of the window. It's true. Why marry a jellyfish? Why marry somebody that can have no bones? Not worth a soul. Are you listening? It's important that we got to find truth that will set us free. That's the spirit dimension. Let me give you the third one this morning. Zion is the city of the living God. What does it mean? It means structure that contains more and more of the progressive revelations of God. Structure that contains the progressive revelations of God. This is the concept that you need to have. Because when you're young, as a church, God can come to you as a healer and many healing signs and wonders and miracles happen. You have to contain what God is doing. Are you listening? Then you have to structure the healing services. You've got to structure the healing teams. But then God begins to move further. But you don't want to go on. Because you're so successful, you become a healing church. Then you develop a healing ministry. Then you develop further because you pray for people, some of them are bound by demonic powers. Then you have healing and deliverance ministry. And you will not break camp. Are you listening? You will not break camp. You stay there. Even though God is revealing other things, He's showing you other dimensions of truth. He's showing you other aspects of life. You don't want to change. Because you only capture one dimension of what God is saying and stay there. That's why you go to some parts of the world, they only talk about revival. You go to Indonesia, this revival meeting. How many times you need to be revived? KKR meetings.
Yeah.
There I am.
True.
How many revival meetings? Friday revival, Saturday revival, Sunday revival. Australian Arai revival meetings. African Arai revival meetings. Some parts of the world, crusade is the name of the game. Other parts is just prayer meeting. Some parts is reconciliation meetings. Are you listening? They don't change. You go to some parts of the world, they just have big crusades. Evangelists love that. But that's not the rule of the game, because you've got to contain God. Is your church ready to contain more and more of God? Or are you going to plateau off? The structures we have is sometimes so concrete, so rigid. We dare not change, lest we become less successful. Are you listening? We don't have to be afraid. We will be successful if we remain true. So can I show you a progression?
Yes.
Say life structures that contain,
maintain,
propagate the dimensions of the progressive revelation of God. So as God reveals more and more, He's built into the house. So that the fullness of God can manifest in time. More and more of God, more and more of His nature, greater facets of the attributes of God are made known in the same house. So can I show you something?
Yes.
Come with me to Jeremiah chapter 3. Okay, I have it. Have you found Jeremiah chapter 3?
Yes.
Verse 14, "Return, O faithless sons, declares the Lord, for I am a master to you, and I'll take you one from the city, two from a family, and bring you to Zion."
Yes.
That's called the in-gathering. Say in-gathering.
In-gathering.
This is not church membership drive. God handpicks. Church is not for all. The country club that you have in your city, is it for all? These are exclusive clubs. Church is not for all. Because there's a specific group of people that are assigned specific tasks. In the book of Acts chapter 1, they didn't include everybody in. Jesus had about 500 disciples. They were specific about choosing the right person to occupy the ministry. Are you listening? What was the criteria? The one who has seen from the baptism of John. That means they've seen the same thing John saw until his death and resurrection. If not, you cannot occupy the ministry. You must be an eyewitness of all that has happened. They're so particular about the apostleship. Is that right? In the church, what must we do to be saved? Repent, be baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that promise is for your children, children's, and to all those who are connected, even those who are far away. That was not the only thing. With many other words, he kept on exhorting them. That means you not just listen once, you got to continue to follow instruction. Or like my granddaughter say, if you don't follow instruction, you face the wall. She's only 3 years old, told the grandmother, "Grandma, you must follow instruction, if not you face the wall." three next week. This generation scare you to death. Say, Grandpa, talk louder. The grandma told her, said, Zara, why don't you help Grandpa? I said, I don't know what he's saying. I don't understand what he's saying. So I joined a team. She said, let's sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. You stand here. Grandma stand here. So I was doing Twinkle, Little Star. Say, do faster. She's my process for healing. If I follow her at the pace, I'll become better, faster, quicker. So there's less prayer for you. It's important for you to remember that. Not just about Zara, but what I just said before that. Sometimes you don't realize that God chooses the right people. Those who want to continue to follow instruction. With many other words. Sometimes they follow instruction when they're young members in the church. When they get older, they change instruction. You say, we must come for prayer meeting. They won't come. They have an answer for every excuse. Are you listening? They know how to wriggle their way out. Instead of telling them that this is wrong, sometimes we accommodate that. So before long, it becomes a habit. Like I told the Isaac pastors, GLS is important. We are not dictators to command everybody to come. We can only say it's important. Anybody who read the word important must know it's important. Unless you just send them a dictionary rather than a Bible. Important means important. Jaya was funny. He said, the next baby I have will not be in a conference. He said, I'll plan well. I said, you better do that. Because it's called priority. You know, it's important for all the things we do because God's assignment requires people who are willing to follow instruction. With many other words, he kept on exhorting them. And as many as received the word were baptized. That was not the end. They devoted themselves to the apostolic doctrine. Change of lifestyle. They are coming in deeper and deeper. They are not staying out. They wanted to come into the right into the inner circle. Into the center of what God was doing. Are you listening?
Yes.
Say in gathering.
In gathering.
God has to gather one from the north, one from the south and bring them together. God has to bring me and mom from two different cities. Bring us together. So that you can bring us to Zion.
Yes.
But he is a handpick. You cannot join the unjoinable.
Yes.
That's why you cannot fellowship with every turkey.
Yes.
Are you listening? Yes. Turkey is only good for Thanksgiving. Are you listening?
Yes.
Thanksgiving is on the 23rd, I think. 24th. This coming week. Whatever day. I don't care. I don't eat turkey. 27. Why are you religious about it now? Fighting for the exact date. I don't care. Just kill the turkey. So God has to handpick people into your church. One person came to our church and said, looking for a church to attend. I said, then you're shopping. I said to the person, who invited you to come to this church? He said, what? I said, who invited you? You mean to say we have to be invited? He said, yes, it's an exclusive club. As much as people have the right to choose churches, pastors have the right to choose members. This is the dignity pastors have lost. Because you have depended on people for their money, for their support. That's why you lower the standard. And you give them the right to take control from the first day they come. That's why the church is messed up by people who don't sacrifice, don't give their life. They are not 100% with you, but they want to control 100%. I thank God that I raised the church from beginning, from nothing. I said, before you were, I am. I came here and I pioneered the work. I laid down my life. I received the blueprint. I said, you're coming to join the team. I choose the team. That's why when you start to pioneer and raise the standard like this, things change. Because an arrow cannot go forward except the arrowhead leadership is strong and goes towards the direction of the archer. Are you listening? There's a mind of God behind the matter. There's a mind of God, direction of God behind the leader. So God chooses everyone. He chooses one from the north, one from the south, and put the team together and bring them to Zion. Are you listening? That's why you've got to raise the standard of membership in our churches. Rather than pick everybody up, get everybody saved. It's just the gospel train is coming. Choo-choo. It's not the gospel train. Are you listening? We are on a mission. We have an assignment. We have a job to do. We tender the job to the right people. The job will be done. God can save the city by few or by many. He saved the city by the hand of one woman who struck the wicked king. Are you listening? In the days of Deborah. God can save the city by a few people. He just chose 12 apostles. Out of the 12 became 120. 120 became 3,120. Then 10,120. Started to grow. But it was the right people. The right workforce. But when you lower the standard right from the beginning, you cannot get the job done. You compromise on the assignment because you choose the wrong tender. You know, in many parts of the world, I won't say just China, many parts of the world, if you want an expensive product, you can get it. Yep. You want the same product, 10 times cheaper, you also can get it. Yeah. And get an expensive t-shirt. Yeah. Or $350. Yeah. Or you can get a t-shirt for $10. All on the same street. All that will depend on how long you last. After you put it in the washing machine, you have to give it to your younger brother. Third time you have to give it, he has to give it to his nephew. Welcome to reality. You can build a house. You can build a house for 100,000, or you can build the same house for 50,000. Depends on materials. Can be built, but many churches are built with inferior materials. That's why when God strikes the shepherd, the sheep scatter, they don't stay with you. In many parts of the world, people are scattered if they have gone through what I've gone through. But the network is getting stronger, the church is getting more powerful. Even though I don't travel the nations of the world, I enjoy being in church every Sunday. Why? It's becoming better and better. We're creating an atmosphere for the nations of the world. It's called the ingathering. You must have a structure that you raise the quality of membership. Amen. If you don't do that, you're going to be in trouble. Because you tender the project to the wrong person, the job will never be done. How many of you are pastors here this morning? Can I see your hands? Don't put your hand down. Have you got an assignment? Who have you given the job to? Besides yourself, you have to tender others. You cannot do it. And who are you going to tender? The one with the cheapest price? Or the one who can do the job? That's why many pastors have been hijacked in their assignment. They got nothing to do except preach every Sunday. They're not going anywhere, their people are not going anywhere, they're just gathering and going nowhere. All dressed up and nowhere to go. Are you listening? Most of them just gather, they don't go anywhere. That's why the life structure is very important. We've got to make sure that God handpicks one by one, and the Lord add to their number day by day. Who add to the number? Give me an understanding. Who add to the number? The Lord add to the number. But the people whom He added paid the price. They repented. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in water. They devoted themselves to the apostolic doctrine, to prayer, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, sacrificial lifestyle, eating together, staying together, living together. And the Lord added these people who pay the price. But we add them to the church after they finish a course. We call it membership class. 12 lessons. After 12 lessons, they become added membership. They're not members until they pay the price. Are you listening? They're not members until they pay the price. And the price is from verse 37 to 47 of Acts chapter 2. They must be part of apostolic culture. Trust me. Can you trust me? You can change the world with 250 people in the church. You don't have to have 2,500. The guys who have 25,000 people assume number or fake number, I'm not sure, but they cannot do what I'm doing. Because it's not how big your church is. It's how competent you make everyone to be. Sometimes one person can run the whole office rather than have 10 sitting down there drinking coffee and having morning devotion at your expense. Are you listening? Church workers are one of the most useless people on planet Earth. Not you, but church workers. They're not competent. We just give them a job because they are pastors or pastors' wives. They have a full-time calling, full-time to live on your expenses. They drink coffee, they do morning devotion, they read Christian magazine, they're in prayer, having prayer meetings from 10 to 12, and we pay them for it. Go and see our staff. They work from beginning to the end. There's no prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is when you meet all the rest of the church. If I'm going to pay you for praying, you must pay me for praying too. It's called W-O-R-K, work. Say work.
Work.
And that's one thing we don't understand. That's why Christian organizations don't produce good workers. Because they can come in anytime. I was about to come, the Lord spoke to me, so I stayed in prayer. I'm clocking in late. Are you listening? We have to raise the standard. Say raise the standard. Raise the standard of membership, raise the standard of pastors, leaders. Everybody has to be raised. So that when the world come to see us and see how we carry ourselves, they see what an excellent spirit we have. What quality. Nothing is slipshod. We took time to design the building. We took time to make sure the arrangements are clear so that those who come in can see that there's a lot of effort placed in. A lot of excellence placed in. Sacrifice have been going on. Why? Because we want the world to know that we are not sloppy. Are you listening? It's important. Say the Lord takes one from the city, two from another family, and He handpicks them, and He brings them in, and they bring Him, and they are brought to Zion. Are you listening? Verse 15. Then I'll give you. Say, then I'll give you. It's no use giving good shepherds to bad people. Do you really want to have church reformation?
Yes.
Then why do you look at me strangely? God doesn't give good shepherds to bad people. All the pastors in the church visit all the rebellious people in the house. The best must invest in the best. Then the quality will change. Five cell group leaders are going to visit one rebellious family. Each one trying to win them. Good riddance to that rubbish. Somebody said to me, God so loved the whole world. I said, that's God, not me. Read your Bible properly, it's not you. I was in America in one place and I said, I don't love all of you, but I respect all of you who came. But I love those that I know and relate. You cannot love everybody. Because your name is not love. You're not God either. What about loving your enemies? It didn't say love your enemies, it said respect your enemies because they can kill you. They can take the life out of your hands. Respect of what they can do. It didn't say love them like hug, kiss, then you'll be betrayed. Are you listening? I'm quite sure some of you here don't want to change. Because you're suddenly getting cold on me. Do you want church reformation?
Yes.
You say, then I'll give good shepherds.
Yes.
To the good crowd.
Yes.
It's no use putting a good shepherd in the company of people who don't want to move.
Yes.
The good shepherd is always trying to win the bad people. The bad people are always trying to kill the good shepherd. That church will never work. Because God's not there. That's why one of my greatest desires in Isaac is to make sure pastors are built well. So that they find the right people. So that you have the joy of serving. So that when you preach and you teach and minister, the hearts of the people are hungry. Sometimes it's better to leave that flock and start the church all over again rather than go into the cemetery. The church must not become your funeral ground. Are you listening? But I've been with them for 12 years. I said, how many you have? 50. I said, how do you have inside you to start another church to raise another 50? He said, yes. Then I said, do it. Give the church a good burial. Wash your hands, put a cross, don't turn back. Let them run their own show. But sometimes we want to die in there because we hope to save them. I know so many Catholics who stayed in the Catholic Church hoping to win the Catholic Church. Nothing happened. Because if God Himself cannot do it, you can't. The blind beggar who knew his birthday was coming. So he took a good shower, took his best clothes, and decided he's going to attend church. So he arrived in church that morning. He was so excited. He heard the sound of piano. He kept on walking closer and closer. He came to the second aisle and stood there. He was glorious because he left church for such a long time. He was begging on the same street, never had time to go. He lifted his hand, worshipped the God of his mother. And then suddenly he fell. He was taken up in the spirit. After a few minutes, he said, "No, I'm not going to open my eyes. This is too sacred. If I open my eyes, this wonderful vision might be lost." So he kept his eyes closed. And then suddenly he heard the horn of cars. He opened his eyes and saw himself outside the street. He said, "Maybe this is too strong for me. The church is too powerful." So he said, "I'm going to stand halfway." So he came and stood halfway, maybe in the center of the aisle somewhere there. And this time he felt himself lifted up again. So he opened one of his eyes and saw two ushers carrying him out. And they stood at the door, refused to let him enter. So he stood in the car park and lifted his hand to worship. And then he heard a voice. He said, "My son, don't be sad. I myself have been trying to go in there for a long time." Sometimes the biggest sacred experience is some of our experience, so we cannot enter some places. It's so sealed that even God cannot enter. The roof is sealed, the doors are sealed, the windows are sealed. Nothing can enter. Are you listening? The Holy Spirit has to ask them before He can come in. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." But God is going to give us shepherds. That's why new breed of shepherds are going to rise.
Amen.
One of the most difficult and unthankful jobs is the job of a pastor. Because he pours out the best, he pours out the good, he pours out the only thing he knows, and he gets better response. But church reformation is going to be different.
Amen.
God is going to give them shepherds with a pure heart. Shepherds that have understanding, have wisdom, knowledge. Shepherds that can feed the flock and make the church begin to grow. There's going to come an infusion in this structure that God is raising up. That the heart of the fathers and the heart of the children are going to be connected.
Amen.
So what I receive of the Lord, I will deliver to you. And you who receive the word will be water baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and move on. And the fusion between the two, there's not going to be a gap. It's going to be a powerful time. Are you listening? So let me prophesy to you such will happen in your church. God will give you a new company of people. He'll handpick your people. He'll choose them. He'll raise them up and give them a heart for what He is going to send. So that everything that you receive, you don't have to consider twice. You don't have to think twice. Because they'll be ready to receive what you give to them. You'll give them the best. Because they are ready for the best. God is going to give you a new company of people whose hearts are clean, whose hearts are open. And you will feed them knowledge, feed them understanding. The fusion of ministry that's going to happen in a powerful way. The heart of the people will be so blessed because they see the heart of God in the shepherds. There will be no more question on authority. They will receive freely. As freely receive, freely you will also give. So this will be your portion. God is going to give dignity back to the pastors. He's going to raise up His own shepherds. He Himself will handpick the people. And He'll handpick the shepherds. So there's going to be movements. I prophesy to you there are going to be movements.
Yes.
People are going to leave their old churches.
Yes.
They're going to leave dying churches.
Yes.
If you are God's true shepherd, they are going to come to you. They're going to come. They're going to come from the north, the south, the east, the west. They're going to come from everywhere.
Yes.
And they're going to come to your house.
Yes.
Because the hand of God is going to direct them.
Yes.
They're going to give them to you.
Yes.
Just like God gave man to Jesus.
Yes.
God is going to give man, competent man.
Yes.
So their assignment can be finished.
Yes.
The people that are going to come to your church are different.
Yes.
They're not going to be the same.
Yes.
They're not going to question your loyalty. Because they're going to be true.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I see there's going to be a lot of movements.
Yes.
For church reformation to take place, God has dislodged people from the wrong churches. From dying churches. So many good people are in dying churches. So many good people. Let me just show you in Jeremiah chapter 5. Church reformation cannot happen unless God's people are set free. Chapter 5. Sometimes I cannot understand how some of these pastors living in such luxury and such sin have so many members until I read Jeremiah. There's one pastor we know in Chicago. He has so many sports car, luxurious car in the church compound. And yet church members will still keep going there. I know one pastor in Nigeria. Sports cars, all kinds of cars, all kinds of expensive vehicles. They keep it for collection. And yet they have 5,000 members. I would never think of going there. Not even in my thoughts. Yet people, the poor people are duped continually. Verse 26 to 30, 31. Do we want church reformation?
Yeah.
It means war.
Yeah.
It means putting your theses up on the walls of the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
You must be prepared to take your fight to the gates. There's no reformation without some sort of trouble, conflict and confrontation. Are you listening? You can be called the Protestant because you've made protest. You protest against what was taking place. There must be a shout of God inside your heart to challenge what is there. You may be taken out by the big boys. Are you listening? One of the pastors was continually telling Bishop Heaven not to come to Moa. Every time he made a plan to come, like last the year he was here, for years he's been trying to attack me. And he said, I cannot understand why, until he came here. He asked me and I explained the situation. So now I can see why. For years they have blocked the pathway because you don't give in to what they want. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Verse 26. For wicked men are found among my people. Where are they found? Among my people. They watch like fowlers, lying in wait. They set a trap. They catch men. It's all the networks. Who do they catch? They catch men. Like cage full of birds, so their house are full of deceit. They become great and rich. One of the worst things to do is to become rich on God's people and sell them for 30 pieces of silver to fleece them out, to make use of them so that you become rich. The wealth I've gained, I've never taken it from the church. Everything that I have in my hands, this was bought by Pastor B. This on my hands are my sister because she loves jewelry. It's an Indian thing. The shoes are bought by Pastor Yan. This shirt was given to me by Pastor Paul. Trousers, I got to get it myself. That was my protection. Nobody is buying me underwear at this moment. I'm not that religious. Some of us entertain angels unaware. Verse 28, they are fat, they are sleek. They excel in deeds of wickedness. They do not plead the cause of the orphans, that they may prosper. They siphon out orphanage money. One of the things in most parts of the world people do is social work. Because social work means a lot of money. And they divert the resources. They do not defend the rights of the poor. Shall I not punish these people on a nation such as this? Shall I not avenge myself? An appalling and horrible 32, 30 and 31 has happened in the land. The appalling and horrible thing. What is that? The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so. The most horrible thing is the people like it. They like the wicked pastors. They like the pastors who are in error. They like the pastor who has a wife in front and a few in the pew. They know all the evil that's going on. Yet at the same time they just continue. They know the pastor has money everywhere else. Cheated all the things. They know they are flatly lying and yet the people love it so. This is a horrible thing. But God is going to give a shepherd after his own heart. And he's going to choose your congregation. Are you ready to let him choose? That's why you should not be afraid of people leaving. Because they left Paul. They left Jesus. Definitely they'll leave you. You're not greater than Jesus or Paul. Are you listening? It's not about people leaving, it's about those who are staying. Even those that are staying must be sent by God. Or else the assignment is to sabotage you. Anyone in your church that is not sent by God will sabotage you. Only a matter of time. I'm not saying that you go and try to chase them out after the conference. Jesus knew who was in his congregation, even though he chose all 12. One was the devil. Your eyes must be clear. You must know who is who. What they can do, what they cannot do. Because it's no use letting them kill you. Because if the assignment is destroyed, the work is destroyed. Are you listening?
Yes.
I pray that God will give us understanding. Yes. That's why the life structures are important. The authority of the shepherd. The pastor must be set in place. The people's hearts must be connected. And he must have competency to give knowledge and understanding. Are you listening?
Yes.
In verse 16. See how God works in the house. He adds the people, he adds the shepherd, and then he adds knowledge and understanding. It's no use giving bad people knowledge. Then they'll use it to fight you. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling his father. Verse 16. It shall be in those days when you are multiplied and increased in the land, declares the Lord, they will be no longer say the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and it will not come to mind, nor will they remember it, nor will they miss it, nor will they be made again. This is another dimension of structure. Chapter 3, verse 16. It shall be in those days, say in those days.
In those days.
One of the reasons why the church cannot be reformed is because God has not added the people. And He has not brought you to the right people. When Judah comes to his right people, his sound will be heard. The Bible says, well, when you are multiplied, say when you are multiplied and increase in the land, there will be no reason for the ark. Say when you are increased and multiplied in the land, there is no reason for the ark. Because you will contain the glory of God, the laws of God, the dimensions of God will be in the ground, in the people. So that's life structures I'm talking about. They will not miss the ark. This in the days of Jeremiah. He began to prophesy a new day is coming in Zion. The people will be the ark. They become the temple of the Holy Spirit. What the ark can do, the ark can be taken to war and win the war. The ark can strike judgment. The ark is a surety of God's presence. So if the people are carrying Christ inside them, something supernatural will happen. When you increase and multiply in the land, say the church must grow to such a capacity so that you can contain things on the ground. If you move, God moves. When God moves, you move. Where you are is where the ark is. If you go, He goes. If you step in, He steps in. Like almost you represent the ark. Are you listening? That's why Jeremiah began to talk about the new thing that's going to happen. But if you keep building the church like that, something else is going to happen. Are you ready for the progression? Say the right people, the right structure, of leadership, the right equipping, the right dimensions of God. And now let's see what happens. Let's read the next verse. At that time, say at that time. They all time after those days. It shall be in those days, in verse 16. So does he speak about time? Good morning.
Yes.
It shall be in those days. Does he speak about time?
Yes.
At that time, does he speak about time?
Yes.
He'll call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations will be gathered to it. You gather the right people and bring them to the right place. Raise up the right apostolic structure, give them the right equipping, they will multiply rightly.
Amen.
There's a proper growth. Unnatural growth is dangerous. Are you listening? Bible says this, the mustard seed is a small seed. You plant on the ground, you become a bush, and then you become a tree. And then the birds of the air make their nest in it. God don't want the birds of the air to make nests in what we are building. But if you grow unnaturally, it's only supposed to be a shrub, a bush, then suddenly it's unnatural growth. A lot of churches are having unnatural growth. Every growth in your body is not good growth. Some growth are tumors. Some growth will arrest your life. It's only a matter of time. Sometimes you've been growing in there for 10 years. One day it strikes you, they give you 3 weeks to leave. Do you understand that?
Yes.
So there's multiplication and increase that is unnatural.
Yes.
But when it's built by the right people in the right place in Zion, with right apostolic leadership structure, with right equipping of knowledge and understanding, then you will increase and multiply. We all want our church to grow. I'm not saying that small is bad. I'm not saying good is good, big is good either. When you stand on the scale and it's getting higher and higher and higher, you won't say hallelujah, praise the Lord. One thing, truth and scales don't lie. The scale is the most truthful. I didn't eat anything, then how come it? If the scale can scream, in fact it has, screaming the truth out. Increase and multiply. Say increase and multiply in the land. Good growth. God growth. Growing rightly. Growing naturally. Growing God's way. When that happens, the Bible says, then you carry a dimension of the ark. The whole body working hand in hand. Every individual working properly. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Don't try to grow your church too fast. Don't try to fill up the auditorium too quickly. Pray for every chair to be filled. Every day pray for new souls. What are you doing with the old ones? You only remember All Souls Day. You know, to raise up two daughters of mine and to put them on the track of destiny is a lifelong task. And then you're taking 2,000 people, 5,000 people and trying to direct them. Where are you going to grow? I mean, those of us who are getting older and older, we still have two children and our hope is in them, that they will continue the legacy. We don't have 2,000 kids. When you hear the old generation have 18 children, you wonder how they manage that. To carry 18 child in the same womb and deliver the 18 child is a miracle, how the person is still alive. And yet they have done it. Single mothers. One mother. Sometimes we think they are puppies. They are children. But there is natural growth and unnatural growth. I pray that you escape the temptation of unnatural growth. I remember being in a conference in America. I can't remember which, but I think it's L.A. I was one of the speakers and every one of them was talking about coming in a Learjet. Came in this jet and this. So they came to my turn. I said, I came with 400 people. How did they say? Let me try to phrase it. It's a joke that I cannot remember. I flew alone in a Learjet. Yeah, I think that's what caught my attention. I said I came with 400 others. I was not welcome to the table. Sometimes people think Learjet. One of them was showing off his Rolex watch, all gold. See, brother, the weight of his glory. I said, sir, you misunderstood the weight of the gold and glory. Two different things. So I lost another one. Like Pastor B, I'm having less friends. Gold and glory are two different things. Everything that sparkles, it's not gold either. Are you listening? Don't choose unnatural growth. Because the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, fall to the ground and become a shrub. And it becomes a tree. When a shrub becomes a tree, it's already unnatural. And when it's unnatural, you attract evil spirits. Spirits will come. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Every day in our body, cells are multiplying.
Yeah.
And if they multiply in an unnatural way and connect in an unnatural way, becomes a tumor. And if that continues, it can arrest your life in a matter of time. Even though it may not be cancerous, yet at the same time it can attack you. Are you listening? God has to give us grace. Unnatural growth must stop. Are you listening? Let's go to the throne of God. They were called at that time, they were called Jerusalem the throne of God, and all nations will be gathered to it. For the name of the Lord will be there. Now they walk in the stubbornness of the evil heart. How many want God's throne to be there?
Yes.
If you carry God's, the dimensions of God's presence in your life, the throne of God will be there.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Not only the throne of God will be there, all nations, say all nations.
All.
Wherever the throne of God is established, nations will come from everywhere. All different nationalities will begin to gather together. You can see something supernatural about to happen. Are you listening?
Yes.
And God has to give us understanding. These are structures that He is establishing. I cannot do it in detail because it's not a church growth conference. Are you listening? It's not GLS. I'm just trying to make sure that you can see what church reformation is all about. Are you listening? All nations, say all nations.
All nations.
You have capacity to reach all nations. Touch all nations, influence all nations. But God start how? Took one from here, two from there, and brought them to Zion. Zion is the only place that all nations can be touched. But God will start to increase. He'll progressively grow in your church. Are you listening? Yes, progressively manifest. And every stage is going to be a miracle. Then the throne of God will be established. Nations will come. People will come from everywhere. Then the name of the Lord will be there. His nature, His presence, His dimensions will be there. In verse 18, in those days the house of Judah will walk with the house of Israel. They will come together from the land of the north to the land that I gave to your fathers as an inheritance. When the throne of God is there, national transformation will take place. In verse 19, then I said, how I would have set you among my sons, give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful inheritance of the nations. And I said, you shall call me my father, and not turn away from following me. Are you ready for this? After national transformation, are you ready for this? God will give you dominion in every domain. When national transformation takes place, the world will understand that you have the answer.
Yeah.
They will. In fact, it's not just God who will give it to us, they will give it to us.
Yeah.
They'll give us a place and a position.
Yeah.
They say, you sit here, you sit in this committee, you stay in this part, you stand in this office, you take charge of that. Why? Because when national transformation actually takes place, you will actually find yourself in there. You will receive the nation as your inheritance. Nations are the inheritance of the begotten. Nations are the inheritance of the begotten. That's why get ready, church. We must raise people in our churches and raise them well. Even though your church may be 200, there'll be places and positions that the government will give. Give us a place of authority, give us a place of freedom, and station us in the right place. Are you listening? That's why national transformation is powerful, because we bring transformation, we bring change. Nations are affected. And after that will be possession. After that means coming to our inheritance. The begotten will come to the inheritance. Some people ask me, is there anything left after national transformation? Yes. The begotten coming to the inheritance. I got to find another word for it, but I'll find it. Manifestation, demonstration, transformation. When cities are transformed, the begotten will come to the inheritance. We will find our place, we will find a rightful place. Not just in Christ, up there in the heavenly places, in society. You'll find your right strategic positioning. Amen? Nobody can take it away from you. That's why you must not be afraid. If God put you there, He's going to create space. Are you listening? If He put you in prison, you know how to take you out. If He put you in Potiphar's house and made you rise, He'll take you to Pharaoh's house. Potiphar's house is the training. Pharaoh's house is the real demonstration. Are you listening? Can you see in simple form how structures, how God comes in? He adds one by one. When God gives you men, they give you a lot of men. Remember one thing, there's a lot of job to be done. There's no reason for Motorola to have 5,000 workers when they only have two lines for production. And all the pastors who boast about large churches, I say, what is your assignment? What is your assignment? Why do you need so many people? You keep these people. If you have no assignment and you have all these people, they are in cages. Jeremiah describes those people. Don't take more than you need. You don't need 5 security guards to guard one gate. Anyone who has wisdom and understanding and economics in mind will realize that this is wrong. Only 1 security guard for 1 gate, not 5. Sometimes they are redundant. And it's the spectators that ultimately destroy the world. It's better to keep 10, 20, 15, 60. Keep them full on, fully engaged. And get the assignment done. I asked one pastor, why do you need so many people in your church? Do you have so much to do? No, they have nothing to do, but they keep everybody busy by creating meetings, creating jobs for them so that they never run out to another church. Is this what God called us to do? That's why there's a revolution coming. It's called Church Reformation. You've got to put the theses on the walls of the Catholic Church and begin to make a confrontation, because we cannot let this continue. In our nation, we've got to build churches and provide employment. Are you listening? Because if they're employed and integrated in the church, they receive grace. And grace by which they can sustain themselves and empower themselves. It's just like if you have no work, you have no money to eat. So you cannot meet your own needs. And if you cannot meet your own needs, then you have to create a system called social enterprise. Sustain. And church is like this, because you have no assignment, you've got to make sure you've got to find a job to do, you've got to find the people becoming busy in some things so that they don't go to another church. But if you have an assignment, everybody is involved. You don't have to try to keep the people in. They're in because they're part of the task. They're part of the workforce. And people will live happily ever after. Amen?
Amen.
Can you see that?
Yes.
The dimension of life structures that will contain God and grow with God. Hey, church is simple. I'll show you in a moment of time it's simple. We're complicating it because we're learning from the dark ages. You learn from the scriptures, it's so simple. Even Jeremiah prophesied about it, how God will come in and He'll move from raising the people and then finally giving the nation as an inheritance to the people that you raise. God will give you the land. I say God will give you the land. God will give you He'll give you the people. So you should not be afraid. I think I'll stop you. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your hand, good hand upon our lives, that you're kind to us, that you direct us in this moment and hour so that we will not be destroyed, so that we will not walk in error and walk in carelessness. We pray for a supernatural grace that come upon our lives, that as pastors and leaders that we will do the right thing, do it the right way. We want to do what is pleasing in your sight and not grieve your Holy Spirit. We pray that we can build a church that will be able to sustain itself, grow and mature and begin to manifest all of God's goodness and grace. Father, I pray for supernatural touch right now. Let the hand of God come mighty upon our lives. Lift your hands to receive grace. Shikiri andari andara la 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 la. Receive grace. Ala la 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 bashiri andari 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 la 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 la. Kiri andari 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 la. Yes. Yes, Holy Ghost. Kari andari andari andara la 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 la. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Surya la mala 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 mala. Surya la mala mala mala. Yes. Amen. Father, we ask for you this day. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for what you're about to do. How you're bringing church reformation. Turning our churches around. So they will do the right thing the right way. Do God's work God's way. So that we may please you. And find God's result. We just pray for a supernatural touch of the Spirit. The supernatural dimension, greater dynamics of church reformation, that our churches will become ready to touch the one and two that you send, so that we can give the inheritance back to the sons and daughters, that the inheritance of nations are the inheritance of the begotten, that you have prepared the sons and daughters to inherit the earth. We thank you, Lord, that this is our Father's world, that you are raising up one to become the prince of Egypt, one to become the leader of Babylon, another to touch the city of Jerusalem, another to touch different cities. You're giving cities back, and you're giving strategic men strategic position, and giving them strategic inheritance. We thank you for what you're doing. You know, church reformation is not just about becoming a good church. It's about taking back the land. And when you influence the land, every dominion, every domain, then God will give you what is yours. We must not go and ask what is yours. Serve the cause. Change the nation. Transform. Then the portion that we will receive is will be an inheritance. Joshua went to obey the commission. The people gave him the land. They said, Joshua, you have no land. You have divided the land all for us and you have no land. They gave it to him. Are you listening? And that's why our portion will come last. We don't grab first. We serve first. If my heart has not gone out to the world, to the churches across the nation as a father, that portion will never come back to me. My heart turned to them as children. I didn't put myself up and call myself father. God is in the same way. He's reaching out to the world. You touch them, change them, because they're going without hope. There's no covenant, there's no future, there's no better promises. I saw when this word was given to me, I saw the king of Moab sacrifice his son on the walls of the city. Developments of nations are being sacrificed at the next generation. The future generation have no hope whatsoever. All the politicians and policies are using everything that they have to sustain, maintain, contain, keep the developments going at all costs. They sacrifice the whole generation. Are you listening?
Yeah.
That's why my heart aches. We need to save the young. Because that is the generation we've got to take across. That's why for those of us who are older, I say to Pastor Elizabeth, when she... I say to her, this Sunday morning, I said, Ben, it's not just your son. It's my son. We're doing the same thing. We're not serving our own. We have to invest into the next. All that Elijah did was to invest in Elisha. All that Elisha did was to invest in Jehu. And the transfer must take place so that the assignment can be done. There's no reason fighting one another. We're part of the same assignment. Isaac, non-Isaac, it's not the issue. The issue is, are we part of the same assignment? That's why we can join forces across the nations of the world. My desire is to grow Isaac so that we become a strong force.
Yes.
So that we can go back to the rest of our other brothers in the body of Christ. Begin to pull them together. Next on our agenda is to make sure that Isaac is so strong so that we can pull other brothers or other foe and bring them together, so that together we can reach a nation. In the days to come, Isaac will not be the identity we'll take. We begin to take something far bigger. Even though we are part of the house of God in this manner, we've got to touch the other brothers, the other networks that are doing well, like Gain, where Pastor B comes home. His son become my son. And we embrace them, we take them, because together we can become a great force. They pray that they may become one. And we cannot force and foster unity in an ungodly way. It's by way of assignment. It's the assignment, it's the work that God gives to us that allows us. You cannot partner and enter into the field of another except the assignment be the same. Read John chapter 4, 35, 36, 37, 38. He says you'll enter into the harvest field of somebody else. But you have to be in the same assignment. Then God allows you to enter into the field that you have not labored for. Are you listening? Somebody raised you up for a while, like Pastor Bob, Pastor Philip. And you had your own growth, your own beginnings. But I entered into another field. A field that was different. But God has given us, because I do the will of God, the lives of these people become blessed. Are you listening? Beyond transformation is coming.
That's right.
That is, each one possess nations. God will give us cities. We are not just city takers because of words. Are you listening? God will give our nations back to us. The nations are the inheritance of the begotten. And that's our portion. Amen? God will give you cities. And you go into the city, the whole city will lighten up. Because of you, the whole region will turn. God will give you the domain, give you the nation, give you possession. Amen?